It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, out of the doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which we'll update someday.
Someday. Filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Voice you just heard is Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
And and sitting in with us is the Film Yaps' Joe Shearer.
Hello.
And his entourage.
My posse.
Your posse, that's right. And of course, you'll appreciate this because I love the fact that we use the theme from the Warriors because it sounds like 70s sports radio. Here to talk about the postseason baseball activity.
Hey, how about those Royals?
Yeah, how about them? Meanwhile, my head still hurts from the Detroit relief work the other night. My God. Okay, Joe's here because if you're listening to this live, first off, you're cool.
Yeah.
Secondly, you can you're really cool or you're really dedicated or you're a family member.
Yeah. I can't get my family member to listen.
I can't get no satisfaction. And anyway, at 6:15 at AwesomeCon, which is at the Convention Center in downtown Indy, there's going to be a eyed set of the Doughy White guys.
Yeah.
Of let's see, it's going to be yourself, myself, Ed.
Ed is out. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, he's not feeling well.
Sorry, Ed. Yeah. Chris.
Chris. Yeah.
So it's just the three of us.
It's the Film Yap and Film Sociology.
Oh boy, it's it's like two shows that have a crossover.
Yeah, yeah.
It's CSI meets NCIS.
And through a completely accidental scheduling thing, it is actually officially titled The Film Yap, with parentheses movie critics. That's the name of the.
Oh, I see. So you're trying to feel guilty of the fact that Film Sociology is not mentioned at all.
Yeah, I tried to get it changed to the IFJA panel, but it was kind of late.
A little too late on that. And they're very. I'm not going to joke about the organizers. that's okay because occasionally I pop up on Indie Style, and I've been grandfathered in as a permanent yapper.
Sure, why not?
Or yapper emeritus.
Yes.
I guess that's a good way. I just kind of wander in from time to time and go. You're doing great.
Hello. Yeah.
You've all done very well.
You make speeches and all that kind of stuff.
And they politely look like they're paying attention.
Yeah.
This show, actually. we have a special guest that's going to be on in just a little bit because we have actually three opinions going on with the same film.
We have three voices.
We have three
talking
voices
about the same film. We'll see if we have three opinions or not.
Well, we will have three opinions. They not necessarily agreeing, but we will see about that. But first, we want to mention what is already opening at theaters that we didn't get a chance to see. First off, I don't think they have a press screening for this, and I know Kobe's not seeing Annabelle.
Oh no!
Scary doll movie.
I will admit, I still have not seen The Conjuring. I would like to see the both of them. Yeah, but no
now
screening for us.
I know it's the same director or something, or it's a spinoff, right?
Yeah, it's a prequel / spin. I don't know.
But this sounds like it's going to be a double feature in the Shearer house when the brood are asleep.
Yes, probably.
Okay, that's good.
At some point.
Then we have The Good Lie, which I believe is getting a Truly Moving Pictures?
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah.
With Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Hector and the Search for Happiness with Simon Pegg. Jimmy All is by my side with Andre Benjamin as Jimi Hendrix. I've heard if you go to freshair.npr.org, you can hear the interview with Andre Benjamin and the filmmaker, the gentleman who wrote 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, very nice.
And hearing he's got the speaking voice of Jimi Hendrix down. Now, what has happened, ladies and gentlemen, because this made us nervous, the fact that we heard there's going to be a biopic about Jimi Hendrix with no Jimi Hendrix music. Because the family said no. This is not a complete biopic, Mr. Slagle. This is basically Hendrix's excursion to England in 1966-1967. So we won't have biopic moments of him, in the studio cranking out Purple Haze or Foxy Lady. So it's making the transition from session guy in L.A. to becoming a superstar in England.
They retcon a little bit, and now Jimi Hendrix is an accountant. So,
right.
Yeah.
So they kind of dodged a bullet with the whole music thing, because I know there was a made-for-cable movie about Hendrix. Mm-hmm. I think a decade ago, and there was no music in that either. So, yeah. And then we have Tracks with Maya Wasikowska. Oh gosh,
Mia Wasikowska.
better you than me. Better you than me. So,
the girl from Alice in Wonderland.
The girl from Alice in Wonderland, and I feel so bad. I'm sure somebody will correct us, and that's fine. Please correct us. Yeah. You know what? We need a Thelma and Louise remake with this girl and the girl from Atonement.
Oh, yes. Okay.
The mispronunciation Olympics there.
This Mia girl was very good in, what was the name of the show on HBO with Gabriel Byrne where he was?
In Session.
Yeah, she was in that.
And recently, Only Lovers Left Behind, the cool hipster vampire movie that the Slagles should check out. Mm-hmm. But all of those are opening. And, of course, if you go to our buddy Ed Johnsonat and check out his review in this week's Nouveau of Love is Strange, which opened last week and it's still in town. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
But, ladies and gentlemen, after Guardians of the Galaxy, it was kind of a little bit of a rough patch, because that's what August and September movies are for. But we have the latest film from David Fincher. Yes.
Yeah.
This is, dare I say, a bounce back after his remake of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which was fine. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. Not necessarily needed, but I enjoyed it. Yeah. But we have, it's a film called Gone Girl, and it stars Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's based on a true story for once, and without actually being tagged that. But it's a woman, a husband whose wife is missing. And as the story goes on, things start to get a little more complicated for Ben Affleck's character. And this is going to lead to bad things. Now, Kobe, do we have the trailer?
Yes, we do.
Here's a hint, folks, because I know you're already wondering what we think of the film. Kobe is not going to talk over the trailer on this one. So
no action sounds?
No.
Plot points.
I don't know if we can do that with a Fincher film. We really shouldn't. Anyway, here's the trailer.
As you all know, my wife, Amy Elliott Dunn, disappeared 3 days ago.
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, may be my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song that summer sings, may be the chill that autumn brings, may be 100 different things within the measure of a day.
You can't go on like this.
Well, it's not good enough for you.
It's not even close.
She may be the reason I survive. Take a laughter and her tears and make them all my souvenirs. Where she goes, I've got to be. The meaning of my life is she. She.
Stay back, everybody, stay back.
I did not kill my wife. I am not a murderer.
All right, so there's the trailer. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest on the line, the Film Sociology Hotline. We got to get an underwriting for that. That would be cool. But joining us in studio, she does not have a title yet. We're still working on that because her office closed, her Film Sociology office closed. But we're going to find a new title for her. But this is a woman who's been on the show long enough that she gets her own intro. And as soon as you figure out the intro, I'll give you a hint. Kobe knows her very well. So anyway, here's her intro, and then we'll give her a proper introduction.
Jenny, I'm sorry.
Don't. Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You had me at hello.
For the first time in my whole life, I realized I totally and utterly loved one person. And it wasn't the person standing next to me in the veil. It's the person standing opposite me now, in the rain.
Is it still raining? I hadn't noticed.
And don't forget, I'm also just a girl standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her.
I've come here with no expectations, only to profess now that I am at liberty to do so, that my heart is and always will be yours.
Joining us on Film Sociology, Bianca Slagle. Hi, Bianca.
Hi.
You know what? If I had my way, your intro could be about 35 minutes long.
Oh, my God. It was so long. I was trying to pick up on everything that was said, but I think it's pretty funny hearing Emma Watson sobbing at the end of Sense and Sensibility.
It's even funnier because it's Emma Thompson.
My bad.
So here we go. Love Story, Jerry Maguire, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, and Sense and Sensibility. I bet she owns all of those. I bet Kobe has been forced to watch all of those.
Not all of them.
Not yet.
No, not all of them. It's funny, though. You picked a lot of British films.
Well, that's another conversation.
My mother would be proud.
Well, that's another conversation that Kobe and I have had in our production meetings. But we will save that for later. But anyway, go ahead.
I thought for sure there'd be something in there from Twilight.
Problem is there's too many long pauses in that dialogue, so it really doesn't quite fit. Sorry.
Actually, the very first one was Twilight. There was just no dialogue.
Right, exactly. and also the fact that that requires me actually watching Twilight, and I really don't want to. That's your job. Okay, so last night, I know Joe went and Bianca went, not together, and I got to see it this morning, but the new David Fincher film, Gone Girl, is out. Bianca, especially because you have your finger on the pulse of the legal system here in Indianapolis, what did you think of Gone Girl?
Because I'm the expert.
Well, you are in this building. You are on this show.
All I have to say is I'm not a handwriting expert, okay?
Welcome to the inside joke portion of Film Sociology, and for once, it wasn't me who started it.
Yeah, so if you want to get that, see the movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, I did not read the book. Usually I do read the books, but with this one, I didn't read it, so I literally had no idea what it would be about going into it. And I'm not too familiar with the director. However, reading up on him after the fact, I found out that he directed, like, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
The remake.
Remake. So that was a pretty dark story. And this one was, like, a dark story. And I would almost say that it's kind of like a dark romance. It's like a weird, twisted romance. I liked it. But it was kind of one of those movies where you're like, I can't like something like that because it's so twisted almost.
I'm sorry, you love me. No, you can like a film and not necessarily like the people. Now, this isn't quite the Wolf of Wall Street response I figured, but...
Oh, God. Don't even start on that one.
But it is... I like the fact that Bianca said it is kind of a twisted love story, and it kind of is. Now, folks, just for full disclosure, we're going to kind of talk in generals on this film because there is a couple of major twist in the storyline, and I like the film this much, so much that I don't want to give it away. But yeah, as I said before the trailer, as the first half, and I think that's what the trailer alludes to, is, you know, did Ben Affleck kill his wife or not? And what David Fincher, as a film, you know, this is the guy, of course, who gave us Seven, Fight Club, Zodiac, Social Network, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And if you notice a lot of those, a lot of the film is about procedure. Of the detectives in Seven, creating a website on the social network, investigating a series of murders in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, even though that was already not his film. But, and of course, the reporting and the police investigations in a film like Zodiac. And you get that with the first half of this film. It's the father, you know, the husband dealing with the police, dealing with his family, and dealing with himself when there's a case like this. And of course, as it unravels, more and more layers open up to the film itself.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really weird because we can say really what everyone knows about the movie. As you said, Ben Affleck's wife is missing. Did he kill her or did he not? We find out early on whether that happened, and from there the movie just kind of explodes into this whole new direction, and it's pretty nutty.
that's an understatement.
Joe has referred to it as a payday bar, apparently.
I still don't know if I like this movie or not. There are some things about this movie that I mean, big premise things that I completely do not buy that just makes no sense in the context of reality, the things that some of the characters did in this movie. But at the same time, it says a whole lot, and it says things really well about the media and sensationalism and stuff like that. And it's in that way, it's really great. But in other ways, it's totally unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a little bit of there's a TV reporter. It's not Nancy Grace. It's not Nancy Grace, played by Misty Pyle, who's really good in this. And I guess I don't know. Cela Ward is also in this. She's not Oprah. She's not Barbara. But really, Misty Pyle, not Nancy Grace.
She has a sign around her neck that says, I am not Nancy Grace.
Right. but yeah, you're right. As far as what happens with the media, how easily things are turned. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another big revelation. This, and I have to commend David Fincher for this. David Fincher got me to laugh with Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry is in this film as kind of as a defense attorney who handles the obviously guilty, and you know you love seeing these lawyers on TV that they, you know, anyway, fill in your favorite defense lawyer that's on TV, and he's got some really funny bits in this. So he's actually he actually made me laugh more in this film than all of Tyler Perry's other films put together. Way to go, David Fincher.
Oh yeah, he was, and I loved every moment he was on. Every time I saw him on screen, I'm like, yeah, all right. I haven't seen him in very many things, but I don't really get the sense I would say that in most of his other movies.
Slightly better than his cameo in Star Trek. Slightly. So
was the director in this film? I have no idea what.
No,
he
David.
Like.
No. We're talking about the guy who plays the lawyer, Tyler Perry.
Oh, you're still on Tyler Perry. I thought you switched over to this.
I would like to see David Fincher act in his own films, but I think he's smarter than that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I think so.
So I guess, Bianca, what did you think from as far as the legal standpoint or the media standpoint of how things are manipulated?
I think the media obviously is going to tell people what to think about someone, and Nick, the character in the movie, realizes that. And obviously there's a crucial point wherein he's interviewing with not the Nancy Grace character, but a different one.
So
not Nancy Grace, the brunette lady. And he knows, you know, people are going to see me, and I can totally change this game around for people, from people thinking that I killed my wife to people maybe sympathizing with me. But something I didn't know about, which I kind of gathered, but not totally, but I was speaking with someone who read the book, and the Nick character, and obviously you get the first person in the book, but not in the movie, you have to figure it out yourself. Nick cares a lot about how others perceive him. There was that one scene where, you know, they set up the Find Amy, location at that hotel, and there's a homeless looking man who goes in to get some donuts, and he stops in the middle of what he's doing, and he walks over to give the guy the bag of donuts to say, oh, here, take food and whatever else you need. And it was kind of weird at that point, because you don't get that impression that he really cares about other people, and then you see that happen. So that was a little bit odd, but I think that that helps for people who are going to see it, that part of the book, and I guess the personality of Nick, is that he heavily is obsessed, I think, with how people perceive him and making sure he comes across as a good guy.
Yeah, and he's kind of reprimanded by his mother-in-law about that, referring to it as homecoming. And then, of course, the other great media moment is he's awkwardly standing next to a picture of his wife, and he accidentally has this kind of uncomfortable smile, which is, of course, captured and blown up, and not Nancy Grace makes fun of it. But yeah, there is that. Affleck's really good in this, and it should be noted, and I don't want to get into too much specifics, but Rosamund Pike is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm hoping she gets the Best Actress nomination for this. It's that good.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of flashbacks where you see the early parts of their marriage, and she's very good in those. And going back to the parents, the in-laws, it's was such this almost as ironic kind of sequence where his mother-in-law is mad at him for putting on this show when they are parading around basically in front of the cameras. They set up this the backstory of the wife is that she is the character. Her mother is a children's author, and her mom has based this character Amazing Amy on her own childhood. And Rosamund Pike's character hates this. And she kind of feels like this is almost like this Amazing Amy is almost like
a better version of her.
Yeah, she's got to live the life that she never did. And they're very concerned about public appearances. And, you know, and they come out, you know, at this first press conference, and they immediately have the website set up. They have the giant poster. They have the 800 number. And they have almost this prepared speech that they're giving while Affleck is rolling his eyes. And then he turns around immediately after and has this one little gesture, and they just kind of blow up about it.
Yeah, exactly. Really nice, creepy cameo by – not really a cameo, but a supporting role from Neil Patrick Harris.
A nice, creepy cameo.
That's me in any play I'm doing. Oh, by the way, Sherlock Holmes next weekend at Richmond Civic. But he's also worked with Fincher before. He was, of course, in The Social Network. And Patrick Harris plays a guy from Rosamund Pike's past, and it's funny because as the story goes on, you're like, we're going to see some more of Neil Patrick Harris. There's no way you don't highlight him in the trailer, and he's got to be a plot point.
Yeah.
Now the film is almost 3 hours long. And honestly, I was with it.
It doesn't feel that way.
Exactly. So that's
intriguing
a sign
the whole time.
That's a sign of good filmmaking, indeed. So
we haven't mentioned Carrie Coon either, who plays Affleck's twin sister. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
I mean, I don't think there's a bad performance in the bunch. It is really entertaining to watch. Not the people you want to timeshare a condo with or go on vacation. Yes. But it's really, really well done. And it's been, I think, a couple of years since Fincher has made something. I think his Tattoo remake was the last picture.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But I know we're speaking in generals, but go check this out. Now, I know Bianca's at work, but I do, while I have you on the line, m'lady, there's something I needed to ask you. I heard you attend.
Oh, here it is.
You attended the 75th anniversary screening of Gone with the Wind?
Of course. Is that really a question?
Fine. No, it's not. You went.
That's why she's not here now, because she's still there.
Awesome. Wow. Well done,
another long film that doesn't feel like it's that long because it's that good.
Okay. Oh, now it's turning into the newlywed game over here.
I don't want to hear anything from you. You've never seen it. Your opinion doesn't matter on this one.
Now we can't.
I will listen.
Wow.
Oh,
here, I'll snap the fingers for you. Now, the other thing is, if you ask me on the street, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you the Gone with the Wind game, but we can't talk about that on the air. It involves Hattie McDaniel's character, and that's all I'm going to say. Uh-huh. I know. I'm sure. And it makes it a little more entertaining for Kobe. So were there a lot of people at the screening, Bianca?
There were. I actually got there, I missed like the first 5 minutes, but luckily I've seen it like 100 times, so I knew what was happening.
As I said.
I did walk in about 5 minutes in.
Oh my God, really, it's ruined!
It kind of was.
It's like Woody Allen and Annie Hall. Like the credits are in Swedish. No, we can't go in. I can't.
Doesn't Gone with the Wind have that really long prologue where it's just a musical score?
Yes, it does.
So you didn't miss anything.
More like 10 minutes late. Yeah. That was more like 10 minutes late because I didn't even get to see Gone with the Wind flash across the screen.
And you missed Steve Reeves. George Reeves. George Reeves. Sorry.
Was he flying along the background?
See, that's Hollywood land. That's another Ben Affleck film we're not going to get into right now.
Full circle.
Very good. So it was a full house, right?
It was a full house, and it was so nice to see it on the big screen. And I really, there's so many things that you catch as far as the extras and the background and like what people are wearing, obviously because you see it on the larger screen, but like I caught on to so much of like the jewelry and the costumes this time around than I would have ever seen just on a regular TV. So at least that was cool. So I was kind of like looking, more searching just to see what other things in the film I didn't catch on, the first 100 times I've seen it. But it's kind of nice. You're not watching a movie to understand it because you've seen the movie and you're listening to it, but you're kind of looking at it in a different way.
How about the sexual assault on Scarlett O'Hara? Is that clearer in this on the big screen? I'm sorry. I have my hater egg mug. I'll go stand in the corner right now.
Oh, wait a minute. We've got something for that.
Do you really?
Yeah. Hey, remember? Hey, Bianca, remember this?
You drink your Haterade.
I do drink my
Haterade. Being a hater.
All right.
Continuing to drink it.
Yeah, I do. I don't have the Richard Probst 50-gallon pump drum, but that's another sign. So the other thing. Well, I'm glad you got to see it on the big screen. That was your first time on the big screen, right?
Yes.
Good for you. And I know it is now out on Blu-ray. I'm sure you'll be picking up the Ultra Deluxe 75th Anniversary Edition.
With all the extras.
Yes.
All the behind-the-scenes coolies.
All the behind-the-scenes coolies. Now, go ahead.
No, I was just saying yes.
Yes. Now, I was told by a certain somebody in the studio that there are three films that you like to have on in the house just when you're lounging around the house getting stuff done.
There's three?
I was told three.
Who is keeping track? Kobe, what are these movies?
No, I want her to answer. This is like the dating game or the newlywed game.
Oh, okay.
Kobe gave me three films that you just happen to have on as background noise while you're cooking or playing with Frank or cooking for Frank. So,
well, Gone with the Wind is one of them.
That's a one.
Probably Meet Me in St. Louis.
No, he didn't mention that, but that is definitely the stuff.
That is the stuff. And usually I have a bunch of different Shirley Temples, but I usually have a Shirley Temple one. If he's going to be specific, it's probably Captain January.
No.
I see. I don't remember the third one that I told
you. Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, so this is we're a disorganized newlywed game.
I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
There was one other title I do remember. I have it in my head. Let's see if you can guess it.
What's the other one? Phantom of the Opera?
No,
I haven't watched that in a long time. Nope. Actually, that was a lie.
why must you fill film sociology with lies?
Anything from the Harry Potter series.
Okay.
But that's only when I go to bed.
Harry Potter puts you to sleep?
Yeah,
because it's dark and it's quiet.
It is. It's dark and it's quiet. So, like, if I want to fall asleep, I'll put a Harry Potter movie on, but I'll turn it down really low.
I would say, yeah, all those quiet spells with fire and explosions.
Yeah, I don't know. What other ones did he say aside from Gone with the Wind?
He mentioned Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Why have I ever put that on in the background?
Oh, now it's the newlywed game.
Yeah, there we go.
What are you talking about, Titanic?
I can honestly say I have never put Titanic on in the background. That's not one of those movies that I would put it on in the background.
Well, it's going to be a fun dinner at the Slagle House tonight.
I'll be like, when did you see me watching that?
Pass the potatoes, dear, like those lies you passed on the air.
Maybe one of the Andy Hardys. Yeah, I have that on in the background, but...
Wow. Oh. Sorry, Kobe.
Wow.
Want to come over and watch football on Sunday?
I was way wrong.
Hey, the other item I should bring up, besides the fact that now we're getting into the DVD Blu-ray portion of the film show, there is, I wanted you to know, Bianca, there is an Audrey Hepburn gift set that is now available.
Is it?
Breakfast at Tiffany's, Funny Face, and Sabrina.
Ooh. That might be something in the works to buy, Kobe.
Making the stop at the store.
Here, I'll speak for him. Yes, dear.
I'm surprised My Fair Lady isn't in there.
That's a different studio. That's Warner Brothers. These three titles are from Paramount.
Okay.
So there
you go.
That's what happened. So
that makes sense.
Cool. So have you seen anything else lately while we're killing your time at work?
No.
Okay. Well, you're a busy lady.
I am. You know, when I went to the movies yesterday, that was like the first time in a couple of months, I feel like.
Well, getting a sitter for Frank is a task, so I understand that.
He takes up our whole life.
He does. He does. Now, the other title that's out on Blu-ray this week, which we'll get into a little bit later, but if you've not seen Chef, I think you two will enjoy Chef very much.
I want to check out Chef. Mm-hmm.
Hello? Okay.
It's your turn to talk.
I didn't see Chef. I have nothing to say to Chef.
No, I know, but I'm saying you can add it to your account.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was getting at. So, well, this went swimmingly. This went really well, and now now you have an intro. And I was always worried because, folks, if you see me on the street, I can tell you the behind the scenes magic of film sociology. And there was a period where we couldn't get Bianca on the show for work reasons. And now we sort of can until one of the partners sticks his head in her office going, what the hell's going on in here?
Yeah.
So
I will say you might need to tweak that Jerry Maguire quote because I've never seen it.
Really?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
I have not seen Jerry Maguire, so I wouldn't have understood that quote.
But you've seen Love Story.
I have seen Love Story.
Oh, God. Okay. Yes. Well, we'll work on that, and I'm sure I'll get laser beams from Kobe when that happens. So. Because actually, there is one moment of Jerry Maguire that I always bring up that I always have issues with, and it's a time thing. So once you see it, we'll have you on again. Well, we'll have you on again before that, but we will break it down. We will have hard-hitting Jerry Maguire breakdown sessions in 2014.
20 years after that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you do here at Film Sociology. Bianca, thank you so much, my lady.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Matt.
All right. Well, I'm sure we will see you soon.
You will.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. That's Bianca Slagle. Kobe's going to get hit with a frying pan. He's going to get what we call a sitcom wife look.
Yeah, should have
double-checked that one. Yeah. Get your facts straight.
Well, totally forgot about Shirley Temple. Totally forgot about Andy Hardy.
That's okay. That's okay. But the two I do remember. So this actually did turn into the newlywed game. So actually, that's not bad. Do you, Joe, have films that you just kind of put on when you're lounging around the house? Because I see with your family and work, you are sloth.
Yes. Yeah. These days, it's probably a superhero movie or
your choice or theirs.
It depends.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes mine, but sometimes they'll just go, hey, Dad, can we pop in? No, not that one. The other one. Yeah.
God, why are you on? That's a good parenting thing. You're looking at your child going, why would you want to watch that?
To be honest, these days it's all, right now, this past week, it's all Heartland Film Festival movies.
Oh, yes.
Which is coming up
October
next
16th.
There you go. Yeah. Very good.
Or iCarly, which you and I talked about off air. After the fact, we're still watching the show.
You're still watching. You know, apparently some of those jokes are timeless, and we can't really talk about Jeanette McCurdy. No. Although, by the way, a certain somebody who used to be with the Detroit – is he still with the Pistons? Andre Drummond?
Yeah, I think so.
He's an idiot. This is – you know, it's bad when the Pistons fan says, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
So, all right. So definitely check out Gone Girl and – we have Heartland coming up on the 16th. Kobe, do we have information at your alma mater?
Yes, we do. Today, Friday, October 3rd, as part of IU Cinema at 6:30, we have Stray Dogs, foreign language drama from this year, followed up at
Wait, from this year?
From this year.
Not the Kurosawa film from the 40s.
Foreign language drama 2014.
Okay, sorry.
Stray Dogs, and then followed that up at 9:30 with Bluebird, and then...
The Bluebird. Not where you saw Redman three times.
2014's Bluebird. And then Midnight, IU Sin was doing a Midnight series.
All right.
Yeah. Tonight from 1976, the opening of Misty Beethoven.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Tomorrow, Saturday, October 4th, 3 o'clock, Paths of Glory from 1957.
Excellent Stanley Kubrick film with Kirk Douglas, Ralph Meeker. Go see that on a big screen.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah,
tomorrow at 6:30, IU Cinema as part of the East Asian film series Le Grand Chef from 2007.
Okay, not to be confused with Jon Favreau, who's also Le Grand Chef.
Yeah. And then again, Bluebird repeated tomorrow night at 9:30. And then Sunday, October 5th from 2013 at 3 o'clock, The Missing Picture. And at 6:30, Re-Embark. And then Monday, in the Monday Matinee Classics at 3 o'clock, if you have nothing going on your Monday afternoon, Some Like It Hot from 1959.
Outstanding. Yeah, yeah. Hello, John Vickers. Great stuff down there.
Yeah, our friend Lou Harry has been yanking that particular chain for quite a while now. They're doing really good stuff down there.
It's very, very cool. I've been meaning to get down. Of course, I want to pitch to him the Rockwell Welch Western Trilogy.
Ah.
Hanny Calder, Bandolero, and 100 Rifles. And I think they should bring Ms. Welch in for a Q&A, which I'd be more than happy to facilitate. speaking of Midnight Madness, Landmark Keystone Art Cinema is at it again for October. This weekend, speaking of Stanley Kubrick, The Shining.
Yeah. Oh, that starts this
week. That's tonight and tomorrow night at midnight. Do you have plans? This will make up for that wonderful conversation about Titanic.
Yeah.
Now, for the record, Mr. Slagle, not a scary movie fan, but he has seen The Shining.
I have seen The Shining.
So can you see a scary film the second time around if you liked it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
And then.
The Shining only gets freakier the more you watch it.
See, yeah. And
you just killed that, Joe. Way to go.
Sorry. But
I think I saw that for the first time when I was like 17 or 18.
Uh-huh.
And I'd probably pick up on more stuff now. So, yeah, I don't see me seeing that again.
You don't?
No.
Should we call Bianca?
I think she's in the same boat.
Now. Okay. All right. Well, that's not happening. That's fine. Although I will say a big kudos to Parker and Matt Stone, because South Park did an episode devoted to The Shining where Kyle's dad buys a Blockbuster video store, and I think, what was it, 2012? And there's nobody there, and ghosts start to show up. I mean, so, and there were moments like this, and this was the moment where Emma goes, I think I want to see The Shining in the daytime.
Yeah.
That's Emma. Emma has vocalized interest about.
And you said, okay.
Okay. Yeah. But not at night. That's where I draw the line, because I am pop culture Atticus Finch. But she's also mentioned interest in The Exorcist. I'm like, in the daytime? In the daytime? And she goes, yeah, in the daytime. So she has seen Jaws. It doesn't mean it's going to happen yet. I'm working on a show right now.
All three of these behind me have seen Jaws. All of them, actually.
You guys doing okay?
We saw the first one together with my cousin, who kind of facilitated that, and they proceeded to watch the rest of them on their own without my knowledge.
And this was this year?
Yeah, that was just, within the past couple months.
And how old are the kids?
Riley is 9, Jenna is 7, and Mason is 5.
Wow, okay, Mason was my age when I saw Jaws. And as the little hipster, we call her Emma, said when she saw it, it was pretty good. I could see why that would have scared you when you were 5.
Talking smack to dad. Look at that.
Little bow tie and skinny jeans let's get a little skinny jeans and bow tie, and you can have a juice out of a PBR can. How about that?
I can see why that would have scared you.
Yeah, exactly. He was my little hipster. Yeah, I like his early work. Then I got too commercial. Oh, God. So anyway, that is happening this weekend with The Shining. Apparently, October 5th and 8th, so I guess this is a regular thing with AMC theaters. They showed Gone with the Wind last week because of the 75th anniversary. So we'll have to double-check AMC's website. But October 5th and 8th, you have to go to, and this is at AMC Showplace 17, they're showing Robert Altman's MASH. from 1970. One of my favorite dark comedies. Mm-hmm. And I keep Emma and I have butted heads. She wants to see the series. I'm like, no, I want you to see the film first. That's where I draw. It also features film sociology guest Fred Williamson.
Nice.
That's right. So anyway, that is AMC Showplace 17, October 5th and 8th. And go to amctheaters.com for more information. At the Artcraft Theater in Franklin tonight at 7:30 p.m. and tomorrow at 2 and 7:30 p.m. from 1983, E.T.
Okay.
The film that Gandhi bitch slapped to win Best Picture. No, E.T. is a great film. It's very cool. Have your kids seen E.T.?
Riley has seen part of it. We saw it at an outdoor screening, and we had to leave early. I'll just say developments caused us to miss a large portion of the movie.
It happens.
It involved losing something expensive that we never found.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a nice longer story to that I won't go into.
Oh, that's fine.
I will say, speaking of South Park, I watched a very short clip since you're bringing up E.T.
Yes.
Just a few minutes this morning, I happened to turn it on, and it was one. I haven't seen a lot of them, but it was George Lucas and Steven Spielberg.
Is this the Crystal Skull? That sort of feels like Sleepers and some other films of, I guess, the word violation, I think, is a good way
the,
of...
The boys are trying to keep George Lucas from handing over Raiders of the Lost Ark to Spielberg. And Spielberg ends up, he has some henchmen who take the boys hostage with walkie-talkies. So.
There you go. Oh, yes. That's very good. Yeah, there's a term I don't like to use it. I'm not going to use it here, but it's, you know, that your childhood has been violated because certain things happen, like a RoboCop remake or a Footloose remake or, Crystal Skull, Total Recall. Yeah. So I'm not going to do that because we have things to do.
Yeah.
Now, the Straw Dogs remake, I had a problem with that, but I'm fine. Other note. At the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. This is definitely a road trip we're taking, as is the trip down to Bloomington.
That's a nice place, by the way.
Very cool. Yeah, and I think they are trying to get money for a digital camera. So, but they are at the SkylineDriveIn.com, 3986 East Michigan Road in Shelbyville. They are doing a month of scary movies. It's kicking off tonight. Wow. Young Frankenstein, Gremlins, and the Crater Lake Monster on October 4th. That's pretty cool. On the 10th and 11th, the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Deliverance, Eaten Alive, and Love Me Deadly. Love Me Deadly is October 11th only. Yeah. 17th and 18th, The Exorcist, Creepshow, The Boogeyman from 1980, and The Power. That's October 18th only. 24th and 25th, the original 1931 Frankenstein. Ooh, Freaks from 1932. One of Us. And Spider Baby from 1967. And then Halloween night, yes, this year, Halloween is on a Friday. Kids are excited. So are grown-ups. Mm-hmm. The Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead, the original Night of the Living Dead, City of the Living Dead, and Revenge of the Dead on November 1st only. So go to the SkylineDriveIn.com for information. That's a fun night. Drive-ins. Now, Kobe, would you see a scary movie at a drive-in?
Nope.
Because you could drive away when it got too much.
You could just not go and not be bothered by it at all.
Kobe Slagle, ladies and gentlemen, putting his foot down. He had enough guff from his wife, and he's not going to take any from me. Okay. You know what? Let's take a short break, and when we come back here for the break, we'll talk about some other titles that are on DVD and Blu-ray, and we have a couple of dead people we like, and we'll see what else happens. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. Joe Shearer, the film yap, is hanging out with his entourage.
Hi.
Big special thanks again for little of this, little of that. Little special thanks to Bianca Slagle for her contribution, and please don't beat Kobe up too much. We do what we can. That was good. It was fun. I knew she's our Gone with the Wind correspondent. And I don't want to make her chick flick correspondent because that's really sweeping.
No, and she's not. Yeah.
She's more than that. So anyway, we'll figure out a title besides Kobe's wife and Frank's mummy cheeseburger. Now, Kobe, you said something during the break.
Yes.
You had a question. I think not just for us, but for Film Sociology Nation. What is your question, sir?
Why do people like E.T.?
Wow.
You just looked at Joe like, Joe, you want to field this?
It's a heartwarming alien story. Also, how old were you the first time you saw it?
I don't know, 14.
Okay. Yeah. I was 13. Well, of course, I don't know if it's generation. Like, I was 13 when the film came out. I
saw it in theaters. I would have been 6 or 7, maybe.
And were you moved? Because I think you were the key audience.
Yeah, it was big time for me. Now, I have watched it since, and, you know, I was kind of bored, and I kind of, you know. But to me, it was magical for its time. Maybe not for modern. As I mentioned, my oldest son, I took him to an outdoor screening of it, and he...
Not thrilled?
Yeah, he just kind of was...
I can see why this would make you weepy when you were my age.
Yeah.
When you were 6, 7.
Exactly.
I need to show it to Emma. I need to show it to the little hipster again. She'll be dismissive of it.
Yeah.
You should have got a better rocket. You should have got a better spaceship. You know what? I like Spielberg's earlier work. I like his work in Duel and Jaws. Yeah, this one's okay. It's too commercial. No, I enjoyed it. Is it a little dated? Yes, of course. You know, a lot of suburb films in the 80s, especially with Spielberg and Lucas to a certain degree. So that's fine. Occasionally I get these from Kobe. I remember Kobe came up to me and goes, why do people like Bill Murray? And because we got to see him go from SNL to comedy guy. Kobe kind of knows him as older, eclectic, Wes Anderson-looking guy. Yeah. Am I right?
I've seen Caddyshack, but it's like it seems to me that every
generation,
every person's love of Bill Murray stems from Caddyshack and is only related to Caddyshack.
No, there's Ghostbusters, Stripes, SNL, Meatballs. Yeah,
Scrooge, even.
Yeah, even Scrooge to a certain degree, but there he had a really good streak of comedies. Yeah. Besides being on SNL, I think 4 years. Mm-hmm. Background for us, because I remember SNL when it first came out, and it was a big deal the fact that this was a hit show, and its breakout star left after one season, Chevy, and then they brought in another guy, not really to replace him, but they had to bring in a new body. And there was apparently even reports back in the mid-70s, before there was 24-hour news everywhere, that there was a bit of animosity between Chase and Murray. Then Murray was one of the first breakout actors to get into movies like Belushi and Aykroyd. But I think Meatballs, Caddyshack, Stripes, and Ghostbusters, that's a pretty good streak within a span of 5 years.
Okay.
And you've only seen one of those?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to work on your account.
Yeah. There is a really good story. I'm not sure what site it's on, but it's the his new movie, Saint Vincent.
And it looks like Melissa McCarthy will not fall down and go boom in this one. So I'm excited.
So the writer-director basically details the process of getting Bill Murray to agree to the movie. It's a really good read.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because this is a guy that just shows up everywhere. I mean, he won't even show up on this show randomly, take a selfie, and then walk out.
Right. Yeah.
So now we're all for that. Okay. So there's your question, Cobe.
Okay.
Generational thing, I guess. Okay. New on DVD and Blu-ray this week. I love the fact that I didn't want to see Transformers Age of Extinction, and you haven't seen it either.
I've not.
So we're going to move on.
It happened.
4,
it's there.
Still Transformers.
Still Transformers. I think when this came out in theaters, we mentioned it like the last minute of the show. That's fine.
That was good.
A really good film, a fun film. It's not perfect, but it's out on Blu-ray and DVD this week. But it's the latest film from Jon Favreau. From the director of Iron Man. It's his film Chef, and he plays a chef, a foul-mouthed chef, by the way, which a lot of them are, except my buddy Robert Irvine, because he's on TV.
Right. And he still is.
Yes.
They have a beep.
And he's still my buddy.
Yeah.
I should say, Robert's going to be in Evansville on October 11th and Louisville on the 12th as part of some live shows. So do we have his old IDs? You know you want to play your favorite.
Yeah, I'll get it. Here
okay.
In a sec.
But Favreau plays a chef who knows nothing about social media. A food critic shows up, played by Oliver Platt. He is fighting with his restaurant owner, played by Dustin Hoffman. And when the restaurant gets a bad review, not only does the chef go on Twitter, but he also has a public encounter with the critic that leads to a complete meltdown and him getting fired from the restaurant. And this leads to Favreau getting his own food truck. Now, there's a lot of familiar faces in this film, and I think they all did it as a favor to Favreau. Scarlett Johansson, John Leguizamo,
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. has a scene. Bobby Carnival.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see all these people that have a connection with Favreau in one way, shape, or form. Sofia Vergara is in this. Way to go, Jon Favreau. In his film career, he's been linked with Sofia Vergara and Famke Janssen.
Yeah.
Way to go. Emma remembers him as the fighter from Friends that dates Monica.
And he has a little thing with Scarlett.
Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, I want to make pasta while Mrs. Sosie sits like Scarlett Johansson in this film. Anyway, it's a fun film.
Yeah.
It does address the kind of conflict between chef and restaurant owner, the way social media not just treats chefs, but, you know, comments in general, being able to film things. And it is a Valentine, I think, to the food truck and creating your own food. And yes, there is the term food porn.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the most exciting grilled cheese making sequence in cinema history.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun.
True story. The young man behind me, the 9-year-old, I let him watch this with me. It is an R-rated movie.
Because of language and nothing else.
Yeah. It's a great story of him connecting with his son.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. And I left the theater after seeing that, and I thought, Riley has got to see this with me, and we got it on Blu-ray and watch it. He really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun for me, too. It's still one of my favorite movies of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so as of right now, it's in the top 10, maybe?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And my favorite line that I can say,
okay,
although we cannot say what the reference is to, is John Leguizamo putting cornstarch on his werewolves.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, Emma, we have the term around our house Emma will make what we call disgusted Kermit face, and that section she just kind of looked at me and I'm like, I've never done that. So anyway, if you know the film, you know exactly what we're talking about, and we're just gonna move on.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is out on Blu-ray. Go rent that. That is a lot of fun.
This is TNA Knockout Gail Kim, and you're listening to Film Sociology.
She does not sound like I
know. No, she does not. Did we tell you the story behind that?
No.
Okay, so I've had Robert on the show a few times, and on this particular day, he was on vacation. Thank you, Robert. He was on vacation, and his lovely wife, TNA champion and wonderful lady, Gail Kim, they were next to each other. I think they were sunbathing. Yes. The Irvines talked to me while they were sunbathing. That's how powerful this show is. Anyway, we started. I said, is she right there? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, let me talk to her. So he hands the phone to her, and we chat for a little bit. And then at the end, like I normally do with interviews, I say, hey, can I get a show ID from you? And, you know, and we have it somewhere. But because the show is really about the show IDs.
Yeah.
And it took her a couple of tries. And after about the, and she's, you know, giggling and a little nervous and trying to get it right. And you could hear Robert giggling in the background, making fun of her. And finally, he says, like, give me the phone. It's basically saying, let me show you how it's done. And he did that. And the fact that we still have that, Robert Irvine sounding like Mae West, that's, you know, someday, one day, we might give you our top 10 Thank you, Kobe. Our top 10 show IDs.
Was he just throwing gang signs at you?
Well, that is my sign. Third year in a row, third most popular radio personality, thanks to the readers of Nouveau, which, of course, originated from how many titles the Pistons own. So we have 6 minutes, is what you're saying.
Yes, we have six minutes left in the show.
6 minutes, Dougie Fresh, you're on. Also on Blu-ray this week is an interesting... and I mean this in a good way, a Texas thriller called Cold in July. And it stars Michael C. Hall. I think this is the first thing he did after Dexter. And it also stars Sam Shepard and our guy, Kobe, one of our great sound bites, Don Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And it's set in 1989. Find that if you can. You know you love that.
Yeah.
We have a special place in our hearts here at Film Sociology for Don Johnson. I'm just glad the guy's getting more work.
No, that's not what I said.
Thank you, Big Daddy. But Hall plays a guy who shoots an intruder in his house and kills him. We find out he's the son. He's a criminal, and he's the son of a not so nice criminal played by Sam Shepard, who's released from jail. And the first half of the film kind of feels like a Texas version of Cape Fear. Shepard's keeps popping up here and there, and kind of not terrorizing the family, but he is. And as time goes on, without giving away a whole lot, the first half, like I said, it's Cape Fear, and it's not... I was like, well, I've seen this. I've seen the story done. But when Don Johnson comes in as a Houston private detective, and he has the Cadillac convertible with the horns on it. Yes. Yes, you do, Don. And, of course, any woman that's a third of his age that comes around his path, look out, ladies and gentlemen. That's always has been, always will be Sonny Crockett cool.
Yeah.
Once those three characters get together, and it finds out it's a cover up with the police department, Hall finds out he shot the wrong person, or it wasn't the son that he killed of Sam Shepard's. But once the three actors, the three ones I mentioned, get together, and more plot things happen, Kobe, it becomes a more interesting thriller. But three good performances, and I like, of course, Earlham College graduate Michael C. Hall is in this, and my wife directed him in a play. But they're really good together. Also out on Blu-ray this week is Paul Haggis's not pleasant film Third Person. Talk about people you don't want to hang out with. And I know Bianca was kind of saying that. You have a really good cast. You have Liam Neeson, Adrian Brody, Mila Kunis, performance artist James Franco. You see more of Olivia Munn than ever before, and we thank you for that.
Yeah.
But it is Paul Haggis's kind of heavy-handed take on three intertwining storylines at all, which he kind of did a while back and got Best Picture for it.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Not fun hanging out with these folks. I think I'd rather hang out with the people from Crash than I would from Third Person.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, old titles.
People
we like? Mm-hmm. No, it's okay, because speaking of Cape Fear, actress Polly Bergen passed away this week, and she's best known as playing Gregory Peck's wife in the original 1962 Cape Fear.
Speaking of.
She got a Best Actress, Supporting Actress nomination for that. She was also in films like Cry Baby, Move Over Darling, Struck by Lightning, A Very Serious Person, Dr. Jekyll and Ms. Hyde. I think that's the one with Tim Daly from the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. Anyway, good working actors, very cool stuff. The Caretakers, Kisses for My President. Also passing away, speaking of presidents, Theodore J. Flicker, who was a creator, one of the co-creators of Barney Miller. But he also wrote and directed the James Coburn comedy, The President's Analyst. He was 84 years old. Director George Sluzier, who was the director of the original and the remake thriller of The Vanishing. Mm-hmm. That was... one of the few times that a director got to remake his own film. He made an English language version with Kiefer Sutherland and Jeff Bridges. Nancy Travis and a young Sandra Bullock from 1993. So, so thank you, everybody, for all of your work there. Joe, what is happening at the Film Yap?
Well, you know, a little of this, a little of
that. Good God, man.
Actually, we do have several new writers. Joshua Hull is one, and he's doing a very ambitious 30-day October horror movie.
Kobe, you
set.
Will not be assisting him on that.
Nope.
No.
Yeah. He's actually interviewing people who are involved in making movies. He's also writing little bits about kind of, you know, maybe lesser known horror films.
Cool.
The one I believe that's up now is with the director of the upcoming film Honeymoon, which looks like a fun kind of horror movie about a newlywed couple who goes out to the woods and the
bad
woman. Yeah, the woman ends up in the woods and she kind of is mumbling to herself and it gets scary from there.
Kobe, you're not going to know.
Most of us
and
call
you're at Awesome Con.
Yes. Most of us call that marriage, but, you know.
Boom, 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 boom.
But, yes, we are at Awesome Con.
At 6:15 tonight at the convention center. All right,
just
ladies,
a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, words to live by.
Greetings, people!
Zardoz has spoken.
And the show's going off the rails. Good timing. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Go Lions. Go Tigers, for the love of God.
Cardinals.
We don't want to talk about that. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org.
We all. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.